This is a second interview recorded with Bruna Semola for the Italian Market Gardeners Oral History Project. I'm recording the interview on the 8th of November 2016 at Flinders Park in South Australia, and my name is Madeline Regan. So thank you, Bruna, for this interview number two. We were just talking about your working life at Borazzale's mica factory, and you were 14 when you went there. And what was, you know, your social life? Were you meeting other young people at that time?
We used to have the weekend off, and we'd go for rides on our bike, which was really all we could afford. Sometimes we'd go to the pitches on Saturday night. And that was about all we could more or less do, you know, because there was always jobs to do at home in the house sometimes, and we'd have to get our clothes ready for work. And that's how we spent our weekend.
And your pay was not just for you, was it?
No, we had to share it. We brought our envelopes home, and Dad took out a fair bit, and we were giving 30 shillings, I think, to start off with. And anything we wanted, we had to buy out of that. Dad bought a bike for me. I had to pay some of that back every week. And we managed like that, you know. We just had to help them buy this house they desperately wanted. So that's what we did.
And where would you have bought your clothes as a young woman?
Oh, just anywhere, like in the usual shops, Coles, and I think they had a Coles around the place somewhere. Just ordinary. There were a lot of smaller shops then. There are not so many around now. But we used to go through the small shops, and we would find just about anything we wanted, you know.
And how did you meet your husband?
Well, after the war, everybody nominated somebody to come out. And when someone arrived, well, there was always a bit of a welcome party. So I think I met him in Balestrines at his welcome party. And excuse me. And Well, we just sort of met, you know. There was two or three arrived that day, and everybody was there to meet them, because when somebody came from overseas, they usually knew someone that was already here, and we'd all go there and, you know, meet them and have a bit of a chat, and they'd buy a barrel of beer and put a bit of something in to eat, so we'd stay there for a while, you know, and off we'd go home.
And Romano said that he came from the same village as the Balestrines.
Yes, I didn't realise that, but that's what he said, yeah.
And so you met him, and then how old would you have been when you met him?
Oh, probably about 18 or 19, something like that, yeah.
And were you able to go out and spend time with each other?
Oh, well, we didn't get together for good 12 months or more, you know. When we did, well, I was working and he was working, and was more or less just the weekend we'd go to the pictures or something, and he might come around one night through the week if he got home a bit early, and If the weather was all right, because he didn't have a car, he was all bikes, you know. In fact, we didn't get a car until after we were married. And we had, well, everybody in our, was in the same position, no car. And
where was he living and working at that time?
He was living with Nichizel and Maria Ballastrine, and they found him a job. I think he started off at National Terrazzo, and later on he went to Kelvinator. They were still there then. And then he moved on to Holden's at Woodville, and he stayed there until he retired. But, yeah, that's where he started, in National Terrazzo, yeah.
And so after a certain period, you made the decision to get married to each other?
I think we were probably going out together for about 3 years or something, and we delayed it until I turned 21, and he was building a house. One of his brothers was here in the meantime, because he'd saved up the money that he was had to pay his nominee and paid them off, and he saved up some more to bring another brother out. And together they started to build a house. And in the meantime, they were saving up money to bring out a couple more brothers. So they brought them out, and then another one came. And eventually they brought the whole family here.
The whole family?
Mm.
Wow. How many was that altogether?
Well, altogether it was 8 boys and a girl.
The same as your family?
Yes. Mm. And they lived over in Frogmore Road in the same house that Milver and Shorty, that was his nickname, and his family. And we had lived there earlier.
Ah.
So it was quite a gathering there.
Yeah, quite a coincidence. Mm. Yeah. And where did you told me you got married on Henley Beach Road at the Catholic
Church.
And what about your dress? Where did you get your dress from?
I bought my dress from Miller Anderson's. I'd gone up the road to buy something. I can't remember what it was. And I saw this dress in the window in Miller Anderson's. I thought, oh, God, I fell in love with it. And I went in and inquired about it, and the lady didn't want to take it out the window. And she said, look, we got a whole rack of dresses here. I said, no, I want the one in the window. So she got it out, got someone to get it out, and I tried it on, and it was just made for me. And the funny thing was, one of the young lasses that was working with us, she came in, and she said, I saw the most beautiful wedding dress up in Miller Anderson's. I says, oh, did you? And she said, yeah. She said, but when I went back to get it, it was gone. And the woman told me that it had only just been put in the window. And that's why she didn't want to take it out. Anyway, I started to laugh when the girl said to me that she saw this dress and it was gone. And she said, you got it, you got it. Anyway.
And how would you have paid for that?
Time payment, you know, lay-by. Yeah. That's how we had to buy everything those days. Yeah. Just didn't have the money to outlay it, you know.
And some of your sisters were your bridesmaids?
I had 3 of my sisters bridesmaid and 2 were flower girls. And Romano had 3 of his brothers as groomsmen, best man, yeah.
And where did you hold the reception?
It was on Tyler's Road. I can't remember the name of the hall. It was
Taylor's Road.
South Road now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. On the corner of George Street?
That's it, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And how many people would you have had at your wedding?
Oh, it's probably about 400 then, yeah.
So many.
Mm. Yeah, they had big weddings then, but they weren't posh like they are now. We had to do our own catering, cook our own chooks and get all the small goods ready and the bread and everything, you know. We had to organise everything ourselves, get the flowers on the table, get someone to help you set the tables, and it was all done by yourself then.
Mm, a lot of work to it all organised.
Yes, well, the same people sort of did it all the time, you know. Everybody helped, and that's what made it so easy, you know.
And when you got married, was the house that Romano had been building with his brother finished?
Well, we had the actual house outside was finished, but there was no floor coverings or anything. In fact, I think they had one bedroom didn't even have floors in it. So... and we had an outside dunny, so that wasn't finished. But everything else, you know, we just moved in. And of course, we had his brothers living with us, and they sort of helped out a little bit too, you know.
So how many of the brothers were there?
There were four of them. There was five of them all together, so... There was Romano and four of his brothers living with us. So.
And did you go back to work at Brazzale's?
I did for a few months, but later on I just stayed home because it was getting a bit much, you know, because I had to do the washing. And they were very good, and they used to help me quite a lot. And... I did all their washing and ironing and everything, but...
a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
For a young woman?
Yeah, I suppose, but, you know, I grew up quick.
I imagine that you must have, you know, grown up quickly like that. I wanted to ask about your parents and visiting Italy. I remember you saying earlier in the interview that they went after your dad had, you know, been away for 30-something years.
Yeah, fair while. Yes, we were married at the time, and I can't remember what year, but it would have been in probably the 60s, early 60s or... that they would have gone overseas, yeah. You know. And it was the first time for Mum and the first time for Dad. And they were away for about 6 months, I think. And
did the garden keep going while they were away?
Well, Sandra was home from school at that stage, and she didn't want to go out to work anywhere, so she stayed home and looked after the garden. You know, it had already been planted and everything was sort of... There wasn't too much work to do at that time, you know.
Yeah.
And Gino Berno and a couple of... And Vic, I think, Vic McGurl, used to come over and just check up on her, make sure she was doing the right thing and... You know, but she was quite happy to stay home and look after the garden.
And she was obviously, you know, used to it and well organised. Mm. And, you know, your parents trusted that she'd do this.
She was quite happy to be home.
Did she go to market?
No. No, she didn't. I can't remember whether it was time for market at that stage. I think the crop had already been... finished, and she was just more or less looking after it, the glass houses and anything that was around to be done, you know.
Yeah. And How important was it for your mother to go to Italy?
Well, she'd never met any of the family over there except Uncle Nickel and, what was his name, Antonio. They called him Nickel for some reason. And it was quite important for her to go because she was happy to meet that part of the family.
And she didn't speak Italian?
She spoke some Italian. She made herself understood. And she got on quite well with them, yeah.
It would have been interesting for her.
Yes. Because she'd mix with the Italian women here, you know, more than her own family. And,
Which is interesting, isn't it? Like, she would have been probably unusual in a way.
Yes, she didn't see much of her own family, even her mum. She just used to come down occasionally just to make sure everything, you know, that she was all right or not, but they never used to mix with her very much. Because she'd had married Dad and they just didn't approve of it, so.
But your mother also must have been very open to being part of the Italian community.
Well, she'd mixed with them all her married life and she understood them and got on well with them, so she thought, well, why not meet the family? You know, they can't do nothing now. I've had had my family and that's the way it is, you know.
And, you know, you mentioned about your father's brother, Nico, or Antonio. When did he come to Adelaide?
He came here probably around 50. I wouldn't be sure about that, but he stayed here for a few years and brought his wife out, and I think he had two children then, and the other one was born, Irene was born here. Was it Irene or? I can't remember anyway, but anyway, they had three children, and they stayed here for a few years. And then he decided that he was going to go home. He took Irene and Dennis home. Teresina was the oldest one. She had been married and she wanted to stay here. So that's what they did.
And what work had he done when he was here?
He worked in a market garden. Around near where the Chisel Balestrine was living. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder how your father would have felt when his brother went back.
Well, he was a bit disappointed because he was the only relative that he had here. He had did have two nephews here. One went back and the other one, I think he's still here. His wife had died, but he's still here.
At Zampin?
Yeah. I forget what I was going to say.
About the nephew?
Yeah. Well, this one here actually packed up the whole house and the family and took them back to Italy with his furniture and everything, one of them. And when they got over there, they decided they didn't like it. So they brought everything back.
Wow.
And they stayed here. He's still here.
It would be a bit unsettling, wouldn't it? Or very unsettling, really.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but they just didn't like it here and they decided to go home, packed up all their furniture and everything, took it over there. And then when they were there for a couple of months, they decided they were coming back. Wow. They did.
Gee. It's interesting, isn't it? And when did your parents die, Bruna?
Dad died, I think it was 1972. Oh, look, I'm not sure about this, but Mum lived 10 or 12 years longer. And strangely enough, she died on the same day, August the 26th. And Dad died on August the 26th, but Mum died a few years later.
And did she keep living in the house at Findon?
Yes, she stayed there by herself, and she was not going to move out of there for anybody. That was hers, yeah. She'd worked hard and long enough to get it, and she was going to stay there. And she had a stroke and taken to hospital, and she was never well enough. She died, actually died, yeah.
And when your father died, had he already retired from the market garden?
Yes, yes, he had retired for a few years, and he just used to get in the car. They'd decide to go out for the day, so they'd go up to Murray Bridge and buy an ice cream, and or else they'd decide that they were going to come and see the girls, and Dad still kept a few beans and tomatoes and stuff to keep himself busy. And he'd bring us all around a handful of beans, you know, and just to see how we were going and keep us with fresh veggies, you know. So, yeah, that's what he used to do, just to keep himself busy.
Yeah. A lot of the older market gardeners continued to have their own, you know, backyard garden, didn't they?
Well, it was something to keep them busy, and, you know, after you've been working hard all your life, you just can't sit down and do nothing. I know even Ramona now, he's, we're starting to feel our age, and he's always had his little backyard garden, but he's starting to feel it in a little bit too, you know.
Yeah.
And he's inside more now. And
yeah. Well, the winter we've had, I can imagine that's been... Yeah.
It's been pretty bad, yeah.
And you went to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that experience like? Because you and Romano went in...
1988, yeah. I remember it because it was the bicentennial year. Yes, it was an experience to see how different the two countries sort of live, you know. I enjoyed it, I really did, and I really liked the scenery, the antiquity of it, you know. But I wouldn't like to live there. This is my country. I'm staying.
And Romano would have had some relatives that you obviously met there.
Yes, he had, all his family, aunties and uncles, cousins and all his family. His family was the only one that came here. So, and his mother, someone asked her one day, "Are you sorry you came here?" She said, she was about 56 or 60 or something, and she said, "It was the best move I ever made."
So the mother came, and what about the father?
Yes, the whole family came here. The boys brought them out.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was two boys and a girl left, like after the others came. And they brought them out here, and she said it was the best move she ever made.
Isn't that interesting? Mm.
Considering her age, you know, to change from one country to another like that, not speaking the language, but believe me, she made herself understood.
And where did they live?
They lived in Frogmore Road, in that house.
Oh, Okay. Mm. Oh, the house that's seen many people.
Yes, believe it or not.
And how did you feel about your Italian heritage as you grew up?
I was really not so proud of it. You know, I didn't, because we were teased all the time. But as I got older, I felt more proud of it, you know, that I was part of it, that I had two countries that I could not rely on, but I can't sort of find the right words, but I enjoyed being partly Italian.
And do you feel partly Italian?
Yes, in some ways. I suppose most ways, because they're the only ones that we really mixed with. We didn't have a lot of Australian friends. We mostly spent most of our time with Italian people.
And marrying an Italian as well?
Well, there was, you know, it seemed like the right thing to do at the time, so... Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, how we feel our heritage and how important it might be to us. Yeah. Is there anything else, Bruna, that you'd like to say about your memories of the market gardens and your family?
Just that I wouldn't like to go through it again. I've had enough of that, and, you know, it was a hard life. It was hard for us. I know it was hard for Mum and Dad, but I know I wouldn't like to do it again.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Have you?
Yes, oh. Yeah. And the difficulty of growing up without having a lot of extra things and, you know, time. Time was always important for the market gardeners.
Yes, yes. Well, having extra things, we didn't bother us that much because we didn't know any different, you know. Time was always important because you had to, like, the tomatoes and everything, you know, there's always, you had to be ready at a certain time. Well, it's the same with everything, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. But I was also thinking about you girls having to get up at light, do the work in the whatever was required before school or before work, and then after, and then, pretty regimented.
Yes, we missed the tram sometimes going to school, you know, and we'd have to wait for the next one. We'd get to school late and get told off. And then when we came home, sometimes we'd have to clean the school before we left. This was on a Friday night. We'd have to clean our classroom out. And every week there was a different group used to do it. Because when it was our turn, we'd finish late, and that would mean I'd miss the tram home, and we couldn't catch the tram after 5 o'clock. We had to pay for it because our pass wouldn't allow it, and we'd have to walk home from Theberton. So that's if we missed the 5 o'clock tram.
Wow.
And then we get told off because we got home late.
Couldn't do
it. It was never ending.
Couldn't do the right thing.
No.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that, you know, way of life would have been very hard. Mm. And, interesting reflection to say that you wouldn't really want to do it again.
No. I wouldn't want to do it again,
Well, Bruna, I'd just like to say thank you very much for contributing to the project about the Italian market gardeners. And today I've learned a whole lot of new things because of what you've said. So thank you very much for your time and for contributing to the project.
Well, if I could help, you know, but you're welcome.
Thank you.